Revelation chapter 17. A few times in high school, I had to fill in on the track and field team because some players were lost to injuries, and the track coach would pull athletes from other school sports. I remember being asked to run a relay. I found it intriguing how these runners cross the finish line on a close race. They lean forward, sticking out their head across their chest, because in that sport, milliseconds matter. And if the head crosses, the other parts of the body win too. The Bible says in Colossians 1:8 that Jesus is the head of the body, which is his church. And as God's children, we are the body of Christ. He's the head and we are the body. That's the New Testament image. And as a runner wins the race with his head first, so is true with us spiritually. If the head crosses, the rest of the body wins. The book of Revelation reminds us that the head of the body is crossing the finish line. And because he wins, you and I win also. Revelation 17 shows evil unleashed on the planet through the great harlot, Babylon, and the beast. This unholy trinity seems to launch on all cylinders with one target in mind, the saints of God. In fact, their hatred for the saints is so intense, John describes it as being drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus in verse 6. Then we read about the head, and wherever the head is, the body goes with it. Listen to Revelation 17, 14. These, the unholy trinity of the harlot, the beast, and Babylon, will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. I grew up in the church. We use terms and terminology so often and frequently that I never knew the context or the reasoning, which has the capability of watering down the power of phrases. One of those phrases is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We would say this about Jesus all the time, but to see it in the Revelation 17 context reminds me, this church boy, how powerful this phrase really is. What makes King of Kings and Lord of Lords powerful is the word that comes before it, because. That word because is a subordinating conjunction, which means it connects two parts of a sentence in which one, the subordinate, explains the other. Part one of verse 14 says that these will wage war against the Lamb and the Lamb will overcome them. How? The answer is the subordinating conjunction. Because, here it comes, because he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That phrase, which I heard in songs and sermons, is connected to the greatest victory in all human history. The Lamb defeats hell forever, because no king and no lord is higher than him. But that's just part of one of the subordinating conjunctions. Without bogging us down with grammar, we get a conjunction within the subordinating conjunction. This is what we read. Because he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and because those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. The good news for us is that because he wins, you and I win. Because the head crosses the finish line, the body gets the reward also. Because he is the king, you and I are royalty. Because he is the Lord, you and I are protected and provided for. I was reading the story of someone that knew instinctively the power of the words King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When Queen Victoria had just ascended to her throne in the mid-1800s, as was the custom of royalty, she went to hear George Friedrich Handel's Messiah, rendered by the London Royal Symphony. She had been instructed as to her conduct by those who knew royal protocol and was told that she must not rise when the others stood during the Hallelujah chorus. When that magnificent chorus started and the singers were shouting, Hallelujah, 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 for the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth, witnesses of the event said she sat with great difficulty. It seemed as if she would rise in spite of the custom of kings and queens, but contained herself. Finally, when the oratorio came to that part of the chorus where the choir echoes the sopranos proclaiming him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and as it kept modulating higher and higher, suddenly the young queen could no longer contain herself. She rose and stood with bowed head, as if she realized that a higher authority was being sung about at that moment. She realized that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and so she must rise and declare it against all tradition and protocol, and Queen Victoria was right to do it. King of Kings and Lord of Lords mean there is no authority higher than the Lamb. And that is why every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. You can confess that now on your own, or you'll be forced to confess on the day of judgment. I choose to do it now.